All right, Ephesians chapter number 4. We're continuing our study. Last week we left off in verse number 12. All right, that was the last verse that we covered. And if you remember, in Ephesians chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul was talking about essentially the gifts that God gave us. And he gave those gifts to the local church, okay? Notice Ephesians chapter number 4 and look at verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. All right, and these are the gifts of verse number 8. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And what was the purpose? Verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, that's what those offices were given to. We talked about some of those are already were done for, like the prophets. Okay, those were given at a certain time for a specific purpose, and they're done away with. Those that apply to us are the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay. All right, now we're gonna start in verse number 13. And we're going to go all the way down to verse number 16. All right, this all ties in together. Look at verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, so this is what we're reading. God gave those gifts. Those gifts are men. Those are the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists. And he gave them to the local church for what purpose? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose of that, of those things, were so that the body of Christ can grow. Okay? That's what it's talking about there in verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity and the knowledge of the Son. Notice the bottom part, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So just like the body of Christ is growing, how does that happen? It happens by the individual believer, each and every one of us growing also. So if we grow individually and we are in the body of Christ and we are part of the body of Christ and God wants the body of Christ to grow, the only way the body of Christ grows is if you and I grow individually. Okay? Are we tracking?
Yes.
All right. So the purpose in the body of Christ is, first of all, to no longer be as children. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more what?
Children.
That's what Christ wants. He wants us to no longer be children. Why?
We have to mature.
He wants us to mature. He doesn't want us to stay in our faith being small. We are no longer to be as children, immature. Why? Notice what happens to those children. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. This immaturity leads to a Christian being led astray by false teaching. And that's what happens. False teachers will come and they'll begin to teach. And if our faith is like a child, we haven't grown and matured, then guess what's going to happen? We're going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Oh, you taught, this is what the Bible says? Okay, I'll believe that. Oh, this is what the Bible says? Okay, I'll go with that. Oh, this is, you know what? I'll believe that. That's a child that is immature. A person that is carried about with every wind of doctrine is a person that believes every doctrine that comes his or her way, that believes everything that he's told. And this is not what Christ wants for the believer. Notice why. Notice, look at verse number 13. So we all come in the unity of the faith. Okay, look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By who? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they, those people, those false teachers, they lie in wait to deceive. They're just waiting to deceive the believer, the baby believer. You understand? Somebody that is mature in their faith is more difficult for him or for her to go about with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because there's a couple things that, as we're going to learn today, we're going to be rooted and grounded in our faith, and we're not going to go with every wind of doctrine that comes our way. Notice, there is the sleight of men. What does that mean? These are men that are deceivers, that are cheaters in the faith, and men who want to cheat others of the truth. And they're waiting for that. They want to cheat others of the truth. And what is the truth? Well, according to the Bible, according to John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. And that's what the sleight of men wants to do. They want to trick us. I remember many years ago, I went to another country and I was there for about a week. And in the street, there were men that were, I don't know if you've ever seen them, they have either dice or they have cards. They have like three cards. And they'll move them real quick like this. Have you ever seen that? Uh-huh. And they move them. And they tell you, okay, which one do you want? Okay, this one. Okay, and they'll tell you, pick it. Or they have a cup and it has a marble. And they move the cup and they want you. You know what that is? When they're trying to trick you like that, they're trying to trick the eye. That's the sleight of men. It's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to, right before your eyes, they want to trick you. And you won't even know it. That's what these men are doing. In Galatians, don't move from your place, but in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, Paul tells the Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Well, what was happening? Well, there was some men, there were some false teachers that were going and they were speaking to some of those Christians that were there, and they were telling them, you know how you get saved? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, the Bible says. The Bible says that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And listen, it's by faith alone. But those Galatians wanted to go over there and say, no, it's by faith, but also you got to keep the law. And they wanted to bring them back under the law, and Paul said, no, that is not the truth. Now, you only get saved by faith alone, okay? So if somebody comes and tells you different, guess what? It's not the truth. That's the sleight of men. The Bible says, beware of false prophets. Notice, which come to you, this is Matthew 7:15, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look right. They appear right. They say the right things. They look right. Oh, look at this. But inside, not the truth. They're waiting. They're lying in wait to deceive those that are children. Notice it also says not only the sleight of men there in verse number 14, but also and cunning craftiness. What is this? These are deceivers who act clever and sound correct. And they deceive with lies. They paint a good picture, but it's not according to the truth. And that's what they're doing. They're coming and they're trying to throw off the Christian. They're trying to teach things that are not according to the Bible. The Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's many churches even today that teach the commandments of men. Who are we going to follow? The commandments of man or what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. Man can come up with all kinds of commandments and all kinds of rules, but those are man-made rules. They're not according to the Bible. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Keep your place because we're coming back, but go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Second Peter chapter number 2. And look at verse number 1. All right, 2 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, where? Among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And notice, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There's going to be a lot of false teachers that are here even now. I'm not saying in this Bible study. I'm saying in this town. I'm saying all around us. And those false teachers are coming to do this exact same thing. They're going to bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the solution? If Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, okay, then we want to grow up, but how does that happen? All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. So turn to the left, a couple books, and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The solution to no longer be as children is to read the Bible. Not only to read the Bible, but to study the Bible and to meditate in the Bible and to learn the Bible and to search the Scriptures. How else is a person going to grow in maturity, spiritually speaking, if we don't spend time in the instruction manual that God gave us? The more we read it, the more we know of Him. The more we read it, the more the Holy Spirit of God works in our lives and teaches us the things that He wants us to know. The truth of the matter is that sometimes we go home and we leave this Bible and we put it away and We don't pick it up until next time. And we dust it off, and then we pick it up again. Well, that's not a good way to live. How else are we to grow and be no more as children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? We got to study the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study this Bible. More than just reading it, more than just meditating in it, we need to study the Bible. Well, I say, well, how do I study the Bible? Well, more than just reading it, find a place there that the Spirit is impressing you. You know, there's a word here that I need to look further. Find some cross references. Look it up. See exactly what the Bible is saying. And all of a sudden, you're studying the Bible. You're asking God to teach you by comparing Scripture with Scripture, like the Bible says, here a little, there a little. Okay? Study to show thyself, notice, approved unto God. Not trying to be approved unto man, to be approved unto God, a workman, notice, that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. You know, a child in the faith might be ashamed because they don't know certain things in the Bible, but if you're learning and you're growing, and you don't have to be ashamed for those things that you're studying because you're going to know those things. Amen. You say, well, you know, sometimes I can remember years ago, I said, I want to know the whole Bible. I just want to know it all. Just how can I get it from here to here, you know? Quick. In 5 minutes. Well, it's not going to happen in 5 minutes. But you know what? It might happen in 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. We got to put in the effort and study it, and then we'll be able to learn some things, okay? So read the Bible, study the Bible. Go to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. And look at verse number 11. Well, look at verse number 10. Acts chapter number 17. Look at verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Notice this, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then this, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Hey, we want to grow up. We don't want to be like children tossed to and fro. We need to study this Bible and listen, and we need to confirm every word. You're coming to this Bible study. Listen, don't take my word for it. I mean, it's good. Oh, hey, well, Brother Robert's learned some Bible. He knows some things. You know, he comes from Bible Believers Baptist Church and, you know, learned some things in Bible Institute, all those things. All of us, when we hear the word of God, we need to search the scriptures to see that those things are so. Amen. Okay? Yes. We need to open it. Open the Bible and say, you know what? That is true. What he's saying is true. It's right here. I can read it for myself. Always confirm what you're hearing from the Word of God. It doesn't matter who it's coming from. Always confirm it, okay, by searching the Scriptures. Yes. All right? And then the last thing is this. According to this point, that we henceforth be no more children. And not only do we have to read the Bible, and we got to study the Bible, and we got to meditate the Bible, and we got to learn the Bible, and we got to search the scriptures, but also we need to desire the Word of God. Okay? Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. So, you go to all the T's, Timothy, Titus, you pass it, you go past Hebrews, you go past James, and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And look at verse number 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. For what purpose? That ye may grow thereby. Amen. One of the things that we have to do is we need to desire the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Just like a baby. How does a baby grow? A baby, when a baby's born, the only thing they have is milk. We can't feed them no meat. You can't feed them anything. You just got to feed them some milk. And milk is everything that they need. It has all the nutrients, and the baby starts growing. The baby starts growing until they're about, I don't know, about a year old. And then you start introducing a little bit of some cereal. Some, what else? You say, I don't know, you're the one with the kids. Okay, well, some cereal, some vegetables, some of those things, right? And those things, and the baby continues to grow. Well, the same thing is true with us, right? As babes, okay, we may not know much of the Word of God, but the more we're here, we desire the Word of God, we open it, we read it, desire it, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, and guess what's going to happen? That you may grow thereby. Amen. We're going to start growing, spiritually speaking. Yeah. Unfortunately, today, there's a lot of children that are still children in Christ, and there's a lot of older people that are still babes in Christ. And part of it is because we haven't done our part. If we open the Bible and we read it, oh man, there was a Sunday school teacher that we had, and he used to say almost every Sunday, read the Word daily, be in the Word daily, pray daily. And at first I said, oh, man, I don't want to hear this. What do you mean, read the Word? I got other things to do. Yeah, we all have things to do. But if we don't start with this, everything else that we do is really done on our own. We got to desire this, and then we'll begin to grow. All right? So that we henceforth be no more children. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's look at the next thing. Ephesians chapter number 4. We were in verse number 14. Now let's look at verse number 15. All right, we're talking about our purpose in the body of Christ. Just like the body of Christ is growing, God desires for you and I to grow individually. And in order for us to do that, we no longer be as children. That's the first thing. And then this, look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the second thing is this, our purpose in the body of Christ is to grow up in all things. But notice, how does that happen? Speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things. So according to this, a way to grow up is by speaking the truth in love. What is the purpose, if we do point number one, okay, we decide, I don't want to be as a child. I want to grow spiritually. I want to read my Bible. I start reading it. I start understanding some things. I start knowing some truths in the Bible. And then what do children want to do? Children want to fight. And children want to pick on other kids. And children want to make fun of other kids. And children want to put other people down. They want to laugh at others and they want to score on others. And that's not what Christ wants, to be as children and have all this knowledge so that we can tell somebody else, oh, look at this person. He doesn't know the Bible as well as I do. Oh, look at this person. She doesn't know the Bible. This person. Oh, you think that? No, you're wrong. That's not what Christ wants. What he wants is that we may grow up in all things, but notice, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth. Now, remember what I said earlier? What is the truth? What is truth? God's word is the truth. All right, so when we speak to somebody else the truth, we don't compromise in what it says. It's exactly the way it says it. That's the way we tell somebody else. We don't sugarcoat it, and we don't say, well, you know what? The Bible says, you know, it says this, but, you know, it's okay if you're still doing this. There's no compromise in the Word of God. Amen. What it says is what it says. And we do what it says or we don't do what it says. However, the way we say it is what it's talking about here. That we do it in love. All right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. All right? So go back from Ephesians. Go a couple books. And you'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. First Corinthians chapter number 13, and look at verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Isn't that the truth in your life? And when you were a child, you talked like a child, and you did things that were childish, and you did whatever children do. But when you grew up, you put away childish things. I don't do video games, or I don't do play outside. I don't do whatever children do. Why? Because we grow up. Well, part of that, according to this, if we're growing up in all things and we're doing it by speaking the truth in love, then we want to put away childish things. We want to speak the truth, but we want to do it in love. So how does that happen? Let's look at a couple examples. Go with me to Mark chapter number 10. So in the New Testament, you have Matthew, then you have Mark. Mark chapter number 10. What we want to do is we want to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says this of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was full of grace and full of truth. That's a good example. Full of grace and full of truth. What is grace? Not getting what we deserve. And truth is the truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ had it both. So let's see a couple examples of him talking to somebody else and see how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with somebody. And then we'll know how we should be dealing with others. Okay? Look at Mark chapter number 10. Look at verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I done from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, what? Loved him. And said unto him, all right, there's the grace. He loved him. Okay, now he's fixing to speak the truth. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, so whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. So the truth of this person was the fact that this man, obviously, according to this, if he tells them, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, he had trouble with possessions here on this earth. And a lot of times our possessions here on earth keep us from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was this man's problem. But notice how the Lord Jesus Christ told them the truth. He didn't compromise. Say, well, you know what? It's okay. You can still have what you have now. And at the same time, you know, I think it'll be okay if you just, you know, just follow me. If you want to. No, you can't. Okay, well, whenever you can. Oh, not tomorrow. Okay, well, you know, whenever. That's many of us. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them exactly what he needed, and then, but notice how he did it. The first thing, beholding him, he loved him. And the same thing is true with us. We need to speak the truth to others, but in love. Let's look at one more example, John chapter 8. All right, so turn to the right. Go past Luke. Go to John chapter number 8. All right, this is a person that had committed a sin against God. And notice how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. John chapter number 8, look at verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And she said, and Jesus said unto her, Notice, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Full of compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, told her this. You know, I know that's what you did. They caught her in the very act. They brought her to Jesus Christ. And in verse number 11, neither do I condemn thee. But then he told her the truth. Go and sin no more. It's not like he approved of what he was doing, because obviously he said, go and sin no more, but for this one, neither do I condemn thee. You've been forgiven. Isn't that a good thing of how you and I ought to treat others? If the Bible says to grow in all things, and the way we do that is speaking the truth in love. And that's what we want to do. We want to speak the truth to others, but we want to do it in love. And then the last thing we see there in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Remember, we're all doing our part so that the body of Christ can grow. If we individually do these things, then we're going to grow individually and the body of Christ is going to grow too. Okay? Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. How? In love. All right, so just like when you and I put a puzzle together, you need to find the right pieces. And I don't know how you put a puzzle together. You may start on the outside, you may start on the corners, but you start putting the pieces together, and there's a piece that maybe doesn't fit. Well, you're not supposed to try to jam it in there because you're going to mess up the puzzle. So you take out, you put it in another place, and when it fits just right, guess what happens? You put it in there, it just fits just right in the puzzle. And the same thing is true. Notice what Christ is trying to do. He is the one every joint supplies so that the whole body fitly joins together. The body of Christ. In other words, every joint, every single person here has been gifted in such a way that what you have is helpful to other people in the body of Christ. The Bible says that God has set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. So it's no coincidence that you're here. God knows what you've been through. He knows what you're made out of. He knows how he's gifted you, and he's brought you here, and he's brought other people, and both of us together, fitly joined together, are able to increase and make the body grow. You understand? God's the one that's doing that. God's the one that's putting all of this together. All right? Every member effectually works together and fits in the body perfectly. Christ takes every joint or every believer, and the believers fitly joined together with all the other believers. And he has his work compacted with that which supplied by other believers. That's why when one person misses, somebody else misses that person. They say, we're so-and-so. Yes. We're used to so-and-so. Not because we're used to them doing something, but because we love the person and we care about the person. And now, you know, maybe that person does something. They bring the water, they bring the Gatorade, they bring the cookies, they bring the whatever, they do the music, they do the whatever. Every person has something. And when somebody doesn't come, it's like, oh, we're so-and-so, we miss them. Yeah. Because God has done that. Amen. And it helps to increase the body and to edify the body in love. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. So go to the back, work your way backwards, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And notice what the Bible says here. Look at verse number 4. First Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the capital S. That's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the same Spirit, but he's given diversities of gifts. He hasn't gifted everybody here the same. We know that every single believer has at least one gift, at least one, and it may or may not be how somebody else has been gifted. There's diversities of gifts. You've been gifted this way, you this way, you this way, okay? Verse 5, and there's differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for what purpose? To profit with all. The things that you have been given are for the profit of somebody else. What good is it if you're good at singing and the only place you sing is in the shower? Well, that's good, but I think there's other people in the body of Christ that want to be edified, right? That was just an illustration. I don't know. Everybody sounds better in the shower. But you understand what I'm saying, all right? Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. All right, so let's go back to the right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's look at it here and we'll be done. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 13. First Timothy chapter number 4, verse 13, till I come, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and then this, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Notice, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to who? To all. Timothy had an individual gift. And the gift that he had been given, Paul said, you've been given this gift, but don't neglect the gift that you've been given. Put it to use so that others, thy profiting may appear to all. Other people profit by the gifts that you've been given. So that's why it's important that we come, like in this place, and people come with their gifts, the way God has gifted them, and those things come out, as we just talked about. All right, so this is a challenge to us believers. Are we fitly joined together in the body of Christ? Well, of course, because God has set the members in the body as it pleased him. That's what God wants, is to put the pieces together in the local church where our gifts are being used for his purpose. So the question is this, are we giving our best? Are we giving our best to get the job done? God wants to grow the body. And the way the body grows is how you and I have to grow individually. And when you and I grow, like we said, we no longer be as children. We grow up in all things and we do our part in the building. Then that's how it takes place. Each one of us has a duty and a responsibility to reach those that are in our sphere of influence. I can't go where you're at. You can't go where I'm at and talk to the people that I work with. And I can't go to where you work and talk to the people that you work with. But God has put you there for a specific purpose. God says, here it is. This is your mission field. And what do? Well, we have these New Testament Bibles. These are just tools, by the way. Just a tool to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many ways to do it. This is a New Testament Bible. You can tell them, hey, this is a New Testament, and it's a marked New Testament. You open it in here, you start in one verse, then on the bottom it says, go to this verse, and it has 15 different verses that by the time you read through all of them, will share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody. And it's right, we tell people, it's from the Word of God. It's not what I say, it's not what the pastor says, it's not what the priest says, it's not what the nun says or anybody. It's what the Bible says. It's all right here. And they read it for themselves and say, oh, okay. Somebody can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that way. There's little tracts. And they come in all shapes and sizes. And really, they may come with a little story or a little... Really, they all have their own little story, but the whole purpose of it is to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the very end, it says how the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, how he was buried, how he rose again. And how do you come into the knowledge of him? By faith. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, there it is. You read it right here. Okay. All right, I can do that. Or some might take it and they might say, okay, thanks. Some might throw it. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. Mm-hmm. And God can still use that. Somebody can come along and just pick it up and mm-hmm. get saved that way. There you go. See? It works. We have invitations. Many of you have invited others and have come here because you've invited them or you've done something to do something. And it's just a personal invitation. Hey, come with me. It's a Bible study. If you're being blessed by this, come. Come listen to the truth. There's all kinds of ways in which you and I can be a part of the body of Christ and helping it grow and increase. Because that's what God wants. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved and to know him personally. And listen, isn't it great for those of us that are here saved? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're going to heaven. Amen. But it doesn't end there. I mean, it's good for us. But don't we want to tell our friends and our coworkers and our family members and our every opportunity that we have, okay? Amen. So because we make up the body of Christ, you and I individually, we make up the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is to grow, as we heard, then we are to grow individually. You and I have to grow so that we're no longer being as children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, growing up in all things, and doing our part in this building. And this is a challenge to all of us. At the very least, you say, I can do a little bit more. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just simply sharing ideas. The purpose is that God wants to use all of us. None of us are worthy of being used by God, yet God uses man to carry out his purpose. There's all kinds of ways, and if you're doing it and it's working, then keep doing it. And if we're not doing it, I hope we're encouraged to do it, to do just a little bit more for the cause of Christ. All right? This is our purpose in the body of Christ. Amen?